Well, let's bring in our good friend James Sharman from Sportsnet into this conversation. We're going to talk a lot of EPL, but before we get there, the Vancouver Whitecaps did pull off the victory. They're eighth in the West, only 3 points out of a playoff spot with a game in hand. But how much confidence do you have, James, in the Whitecaps pulling this off and making the postseason in the West?
The same as I think most Whitecaps fans have had all year long. You know, they just don't know. You know, this team's so inconsistent. They lose three straight on the hop, and you think that the hopes are just gone, diminished. And then they pull out a win at Toronto on the weekend, you know, with two desperate teams, although it seemed like one desperate team, to be honest with you. So they found a way. It's so, so tight. The Galaxy, you know, you don't want to rule them out, of course. They're the one you got to jump. And, of course, Salt Lake's looking pretty good right now as well. So, you know, often you see a new manager bump when the guy's fired and they bring in the new one. Obviously, the first game didn't work out so well, but there's a lot of things to like about that performance on Saturday, not least of which was the character and the desperation shown by this team. So, listen, don't lose hope just yet, but it's going to be a real battle. But that game in hand could be so, so important.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. And with a new manager head coach in tow, with Carl Robinson away, maybe they got the spark they needed, and we'll find out coming up over the next few weeks here. But in the EPL, you want to talk about parity. My goodness, the top five, six teams even, are separated by only 5 points so far, something you don't often see, especially when a team like Man City has been playing as well as they have. But a three-way tie at the very top, 20 points for City, 20 points for Chelsea, 20 points for Liverpool in 8 matches. Do you think we're going to see a pretty tight race here for the top five all year long?
You know what? I think we're going to see a tighter race than you saw last year. I mean, last year it was over by November, pretty much.
Right.
I think there's going to be a conversation into the new year. But to be honest with you, I really think when all said and done, you're going to see Man City, the champions, pull away towards the last couple of months of the season. I think they're still the deepest team. They are the best team. They're doing this right now. They're doing okay without Kevin De Bruyne, who's maybe the best player in English football right now. So I think they'll find a way while Chelsea and Liverpool are still kind of finding exactly who they are. You know, Chelsea very much so under a new manager, and Liverpool now this defensive machine as opposed to last year when they're an offensive machine. So they're still kind of trying to find exactly what they are. So I think City will pull away in the end, but right now it's a lot of fun. I mean, you mentioned those teams, but teams like Bournemouth and Wolverhampton Wanderers, the promotion team, you know, sitting in sixth place right now, 16 points. They're pretty much safe, right? And they're a promotion club. So I think you mentioned the word parity, and that's a good word to use to start the season. It's been a really interesting start to the season, but a lot of these teams are still not even close to their top gear just yet.
Chelsea right behind Man City, as you mentioned, but there is maybe the chance that they lose Eden Hazard in January to Real Madrid if they can't get him to sign to an extension here. What do you think Chelsea needs to do in order to make this a little bit more palatable for Hazard to want to stay in Chelsea?
Well, it comes down to money, 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 right? As simple as that. And they're going to put an offer on the table to him that will make him the highest paid player in Chelsea history. Is that enough to keep him from a team that he admits publicly that, you know, his dream is to play for Real Madrid? If you look at it from a footballing standpoint right now, he is where he should be. He's playing for a manager in Mauricio Sarri, first-year manager in the Premier League, who said to him, listen, I don't care what you do in that half of the field. I just don't care. Don't defend. All you worry about is the final third. Now, how many attacking players would love to play for that kind of manager? And I think you're seeing it this year, that how he's playing, he's played the best football of any player so far this season in the Premier League. He is absolutely dominating. He's doing with a smile on his face. His team's getting better around him. He's in a great situation. While Real Madrid right now are in a rebuild, right? Ronaldo leaves and Lopetegui comes in, and they're not playing very well at the moment, and they're not playing really attacking football like he would like. So from a footballing standpoint, he's in the right situation. But like most players, when they grow up, a lot of these guys, and they have these dreams of Barcelona or Real Madrid, you know, they stay with them, and they're very hard to convince these players that they're better off where they are. Because when things go right and you're living in Madrid, that's a pretty sweet lifestyle, isn't it?
Well,
so it'll be a challenge for them, I think. But, for me personally, man, stay where you are, because this is a lot of fun for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would make sad stay, too, as a big Chelsea fan. When we're talking about Real Madrid, it did come out recently that the reason, at least, why Zidane left, according to his agent, is that he was emotionally drained by the pressures of modern management. Now, we all have heard the rumors circulating him and Man U, for example, if Mourinho is given the boot. But given what was stated by his agent, is that such a natural conclusion, or is this just maybe a little bit of smoke and mirrors from his agent to sort of deflect some of the rumors and how hot it's been circulating around Zidane?
It might be, yeah. I mean, Zidane, even as a player, remember, he wasn't one that really liked the limelight. You know, he was, at the time, the best player of his generation. You know, he is one of the all-time greats, but he didn't really gravitate towards the limelight. The limelight found him because he was just so good. And the same way as a manager, you know, he still seemed a little bit uneasy in front of the cameras, in front of the media. You know, he just wanted to get down to business and do his job. So if he really entertains hopes of going to Manchester United, you wonder about that and if it's the smartest thing for him, because, you know, there's pressure in Real Madrid, of course. There's equal amounts of pressure at Manchester United. You know, it's the richest club in world football. The fans expect championships every year, and they're at a low point right now. And with that current group of players, I don't know who could turn them around, quite frankly. I think they need a real change in personnel in that squad. So it'll be a long build for him. So I'm not sure it's the right job for him, but, you know, if he does have that competitive edge and he still, you know, wants to manage in top-flight football, then if United do come calling, it's hard to say no to them. But it is odd that his agent comes out now and starts publicly mentioning this. It could well be smoke and mirrors. It could well be trying to deflect some pressure off Jose Mourinho, because this is the managerial brethren, after all, that they respect each other. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting one. You know, if Mourinho goes, and who knows if he will or not, Zidane is the natural replacement, I think. But, you know, if he's not that into the pressure, then that is the wrong environment for him.
How ironic was it that Man United was able to win that match and come back with guys like Martial scoring the goal and Paul Pogba setting it up? Like, the two players that he's essentially been at war with could have just saved his job this weekend.
And Alexis Sanchez, right, the winner, you know, I mean, the guy who fell out of the squad has been an absolute disaster, despite being the highest paid player in English football. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? You're watching that game, and at 2-0 down, you look at Mourinho on the sidelines, and you had to feel sorry for him, didn't you? Because that wasn't his fault. That wasn't bad preparation. That wasn't a bad system or tactics. That's just stupidity, stupid mistakes from players that should know better. But they found a way. And how many times have you seen this United team find ways when they're just on the cusp of absolute desperation and disaster? They find a way to come back and win a game before an international break or something. So, you know, listen, I think we need to realize that they're still in crisis. They beat Newcastle. Newcastle is a terrible team this year. They haven't won yet. It was almost extremely embarrassing, but maybe it's something to build on. But I still think that, you know, Mourinho is very much in the hot seat there, and that the owners don't want to fire him. They owe him a lot of money, but they're just dealing with him. What wrong? You know, I said before, I think, with you guys, how if you hire Jose Mourinho, you really have to give him full autonomy. You don't hire him for a long rebuild. You hire him for quick effect management, and that is spending money on players that he wants. Otherwise, why bother signing him in the first place? So there's so much blame to go around there, from the ownership to the executive management to the coaching staff and certainly to the players. There's so many fingers to point here. It's just an absolute disaster at the moment, and we'll see if Mourinho can dig his way out of there, but I really think he'll need a couple of transfer windows to do that, and I'm not sure he'll be given that time.
Sportsnet 650.